You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
So we have a series going on. Hopefully you've been able to hear the first few episodes about He Restores My Soul, an awesome book from Emmanuel Press about the crosses that women bear and how we as Christian women can approach these crosses from a Christ-centered identity and worldview. And not only the crosses that we bear ourselves, but also being able to care for the women in our lives who may be bearing crosses that are different from ours. Joining us again to talk about her second chapter in the book is Katie Schuerman. Thanks so much for joining us today, Katie.
Thank you for this opportunity.
So the first chapter that we talked with you about was how we are sheep with a shepherd, and that joins us together. But this chapter is a bit of a different topic.
It is. I am the author of Chapter 5, and He Restores My Soul, which is titled, I Am Herod. That's a tough title. Nobody wants to be Herod. I suppose we all are Herod in the sins of our heads and of our hearts in some regard. In this particular case, this title is applied to a confession of sin that a sister in Christ makes about the fact that she has aborted her child. I think she's referring to Herod's sin of slaughtering the innocents after Jesus is born. And while that's a terribly painful confession, as the one who listens to it, I find myself rejoicing in the faith of my sister who repents of her sin. Which means, first of all, acknowledging that abortion is a sin. That's a hard thing to do this day and age because the world is telling us something very different. And when my sister in Christ can confess a sin, that means she acknowledges that the killing of any human, no matter how big or how small, how old, how young, whether in utero or out, for her to be able to confess such a sin, to me, says that she believes that God's word is true. And I just want to hug her. I just want to take care of her. I want to reassure her of the forgiveness that is hers in Christ Jesus. And that's what this chapter is about. I have two women in mind that have shared their stories with me about regretting their abortions. And I took their two stories, their two experiences, and I use that to create an entirely different narrative. So when people come upon this chapter, it's going to read like a story. And it is biographical, but it's not biographical to any one person, though I definitely had one woman in particular who helped shape a lot of the specific dialogue that this woman speaks in the chapter. And I thank this woman at the back of the book. But the point of writing a story about this is to give us an opportunity to be in the head of, and in the thoughts, and the internal feelings of the woman who regrets her abortion. So we can maybe understand a little bit about what life is like for her. How does Satan tempt her? What does she struggle with? You know, when we all have our sins and our consciences are burdened, and even though we know that Christ forgives us, even though we've confessed that sin and heard the absolution spoken to us regarding that sin, you know, Satan brings it up in our head all the time. Or we encounter people or words or conversations or something that calls it to mind again, and we struggle. We struggle. We struggle to trust that God's forgiveness is really for us. And so do our sisters in Christ who regret their abortions. And so the benefit of writing it in story form is we get a chance to be in her head a little bit. Also, it gives us a chance to understand a little bit about what she's been through. What is it like to be her and to interact with other people day to day? What kinds of thoughts and experiences and conversations do we all take for granted, not realizing how they may burden our sister in Christ who regrets her abortion? What is it to be a Christian who participates in protests against legalized abortion in our country. How does that affect our sister who regrets her abortion? Thoughts and questions like that, I kind of try to not give the answer to, but approach carefully in my narrative.
What's important when addressing this topic that's very personal for an individual, whether a woman or a man who's mm-hmm. who's been party to an abortion? What's important to you, Katie, when let's start with when listening to someone share that with you, confide in you regarding their involvement in an abortion?
I think anytime anyone confesses a sin, they're burdened. Their conscience is burdened. They have regret. They have remorse. And the privilege of listening to that as a sister in Christ, as a one of the priesthood of believers, is I know I'm to listen with the ears of the law and gospel. And if as kind of I explained earlier, when our sister in Christ is confessing the sin of abortion, the thing we can rejoice in there is that obviously she believes the word of God, and therefore we know that she needs to hear the gospel. She needs to hear the truth that whatever commandment is broken, Christ died for that sin. He shed his blood for her. And the benefit of, maybe benefit is the wrong word. I think the vocational importance of being the listener is to literally bear one another's burdens. To hear that burden and then to help her be relieved of it by then speaking the word of truth, the word of forgiveness. And in my case, as a woman, as a sister in Christ, reminding her that her pastor is there for her to hear her confession, to talk to her further, to encourage her in the days ahead when Satan tempts her to doubt that Christ forgives even her. And honestly, I think when we're listening, I think we can relate. Whether we've aborted a child or not, I'm pretty sure there's not a single human being on earth other than our Lord Jesus who hasn't murdered somebody in their heart with hate and anger, who has failed to support their neighbor physically in their body and in their life. And so I'm hoping when we listen, we can listen with mercy and compassion. And sometimes just being a witness to their story, being a hearer of the hard things, letting them get it out, so to speak, can be healing for people. And I don't mean spiritually healing. I don't mean salvation healing. I mean healing insofar as I can be a mask of God to that friend in that moment just by listening to her. I can be reminding her by my physical presence that God listens to her too, that she is not alone, that even though she has broken a law of God, God doesn't abandon her to that sin. Same with when I speak the words of forgiveness. You know, I'm doing that as one of the priesthood of believers, and I'm doing that she might hear the truth that God has already spoken, that I can remind her that God has spoken these words through the prophets and then through his son, that she might be saved, that she might be free of that sin. But then also understanding that when it comes to abortion, the woman who regrets her action is also grieving the death of her child, the death of her child at her hand. There's a lot to unpack there. It's going to take a long time, and it might take a lot of conversations, and to just bear with her in patience and in love, because it might actually be many conversations over many years. Grief is definitely going to be a part of this, as it is with any of us in our regrets.
You mentioned earlier that this chapter is maybe one of the harder ones to read and to think about and to really digest because of how prevalent abortion is in our culture, especially on social media. It's everywhere, and it's hard to talk about without being really polarized and not offending people, I guess, or being afraid of offending people. how do we take what's in this chapter and maybe what our pastors have told us or our conversations with our sisters in Christ, how do we take this and faithfully have the words to say to somebody that maybe we've never talked to somebody before who has had an abortion? How do we find those words to say?
The protagonist in this chapter would say to speak the truth, to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. And in this particular case, it means also being ready to say that maybe what someone did was wrong. Because how do we talk about the hope we have and the forgiveness of God if we do not acknowledge that something is a sin? And so in some ways, there's a good chance this chapter may be very offensive to the person who resists the truth that, that abortion is murder. That this could be an offensive story to them because that's kind of the premise of this. But it's a sin for which Christ died. And so the protagonist is going to remind us again that we get to speak the word of truth to one another. We bear with one another in love. We listen to each other. We ask questions and we listen. And I think one of the things that's, that we can do in the church is when these women do get a chance to publicly confess what they have done, if that's something that they're choosing to do, to stand up at a rally, at a protest, and to talk about this very difficult thing, I think we can respect them by listening to them.
What do you hope anyone will walk away with, but especially perhaps someone who identifies with this, who has experienced that very circumstance of having regret post-abortion?
That's a good question, Andy. I hope the person who reads this chapter can walk away with a little bit of empathy, an empathy of what it is to regret something, to repent, but then also what it is to be given faith, which trusts that what Jesus said is true. When he tells us that what everything he has done on the cross, he did it for us. When he shed his blood, he did it for us. And while the title, I Am Herod, is tough, I could have also titled it, I am his sheep. I am Christ's sheep. Or, I am forgiven. The psalm verse that this chapter is paired with is, He Restores My Soul, which is the title of the book. I think this is one of the chapters that is a really perfect example of how something so terrible exists. And there are consequences to this terribleness, consequences of guilt and remorse and grief. But he truly restores my soul. And the protagonist in this chapter is going to very clearly tell us how he does that for her. I think none of us will be surprised when we learn that it's through his word, through the work of his son, through the comfort that comes in being baptized into him, and knowing that we can go to his table, where he prepares prepares a meal for us of his own body and blood for our salvation, for our restoration. And he's given us promises in which we can put our faith, promises that he will make all things new. And this protagonist is going to warn us against making false promises where God has not spoken. Because when your conscience is truly burdened, when you're truly being tempted, false promises do nothing but tempt you to either be prideful or to despair. But God's true promise is found in his word, such as that he restores my soul. These are the ones that strengthen the faith of the sufferer.
Absolutely. We are all out of time, Katie. Katie Schuerman, author of a chapter in the book, He Restores My Soul. You can find more information about that at emmanuelpress.us. Find information about the authors, the rest of the chapters that are available in this book. Thanks so much, Katie, for being our guest today.
Thank you for being willing to talk about tough things.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.